It's one verse in the Gospel of John. It's the first thing we read the Lord Jesus say in the Gospel of John. John chapter 1, verse 38. But Jesus, having turned and seeing them following, says to them, "What seek ye?" And that's really, I think, what we're talking about. It's not about what do you have and what is bestowed upon you, but it's what do you seek. And we have many warnings about what we seek. What the Lord Jesus is the one who says, all these things, material goods, the stuff that we need just to simply live, all these things the nations of the world seek after, but your Father knows you have need of them. But seek ye the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. And presumably, if you are seeking the kingdom of God, when those things are added unto you, you're not going to get swept up in them, because you're seeking the kingdom of God. So these the disciples in John 1 heard John speak, and they turn and they start to follow the Lord. He says, "What seek ye?" And that question just continues to resonate as we see people in the Gospel of John and throughout the Gospel seeking different things. And with the help of the Spirit of God, we, as we grow and mature in our faith, we don't just desire stuff, we desire Christ. We grow in that desire to have the Lord Jesus come. We desire to have fellowship with Him. And then what we have or don't have becomes secondary. If we lack, we don't get caught up in our lack. If we abound, we don't get caught up in our abundance. We are caught up with Him. The prodigal son, the older brother, says to the father, "You never give me a goat so that I may make merry with my friends." He lost sight of the fact that he had it all with his father. But he wanted to have fun on his own. Even in the Old Testament, we have God instituting the peace offering. You can have a big fat cow. Enjoy it with me, God would say, as it were, you know, by way of bringing it to the temple, and everybody can share it together, and it is in fellowship with God. So I think that the issue, and we move on to the other scriptures, is what are we seeking after? What is it that we want? Not so much what do we have, but what do we desire? What are we pursuing?
And I think you... I think you're connecting that, Sammy, with this whole matter of how we hold things. How do I hold things? In light of what? In light of this world or in light of Christ? We think of Moses in regard to his choices in Hebrews 11. He recognized the reality of things, the matter of pleasure, and he says, "I chose rather to suffer affliction with the people of God." If I hold divine things, or if I hold the things I have, rather, from a divine view, then that's going to make the difference. So when we go to Romans, what you have, first of all, is the fact that it's a matter of time even before the fact of the night is far spent. It says in verse 11, knowing the time, that it is already time that we should be aroused out of sleep. Do we know the time? Do I know the time? You remember the sons of Issachar? They were the ones who had an understanding of the times. And they didn't invest in circumstances of this life, because it was imperative that their assessment of the times gave them a spiritual perspective. Do we have spiritual perspective? And that's where our problem is. And that's why I hold on to things. I hold on to my truck because I'm going with it for the balance of my life. And I hold on to my few dollars I have because that's what's going to make it for me. There is nothing for Christ in the assessment. And we need to figure out in our own souls what assessment we have of the time, so that we can appreciate that the night is far spent. And there is a revealing of a day that's going to come. But in the meantime, we need to put on the offensive weapon of light that will give us perspective on the things we have.
But before that, it says to cast off the works of darkness.
Yes.
And that's an action that must take place from ourselves with the help of the Spirit. Sometimes we think that the Lord is going to somehow mysteriously remove all of the temptation, all of the challenges, and take off these works. This is our works. Yes. Same thing back in chapter 8. It's mortify the deeds of the body. That's something we need to do. Then, putting on the armor of light. You can't put the armor of light on over a body that is still sold to the old world and the old man, and it's not crucified the way it's supposed to be. First, cast off the works, then the armor of light.
I'd like to link that with 1 Corinthians 7, just a verse in 1 Corinthians 7. It really is, I always think, so succinct in the way it puts it, and maybe my favorite verse in how to look at this theme, 1 Corinthians 7, verse 31. It says that we should be like those who use this world, but not misusing it, not abusing it. Now, it doesn't exactly say how to do that. It needs discernment all the time to know which one we're doing at the moment. But we should be using the world, and we shouldn't be abusing it. We shouldn't be misusing it. And so when you get to Romans chapter 13, it says this, to be walking properly, to be walking in a becoming way as a believer in this characteristic, in the world. The Lord Jesus talked about being in the world and not of it. He talked about the unjust steward who knew how to use the relationships of this world in a what was for him in a rather unrighteous way, in a way that would set him up for the future. Not that we should imitate the unrighteousness of that unrighteous steward, but that we should know how to use the things that are around us for the advancement of God's purposes. And so the proper way is to be walking as if we're in the day already. It says in verse 12 of Romans 13 that the day is at hand, but if we have on the armor of light, we're going to be walking as if the day is already here. And we're going to not abuse the things of this world. That's what verse 13 says. Those behaviors are abusing the things of this world. Revelry and drunkenness, these are our public public attitudes, public behaviors. They're with other people. Revelry and drunkenness and carousing, these are the things that we do with others. Lewdness and lust, these can be even just in our own privacy, the way we look around at all the things we have. Nebuchadnezzar just was walking around looking at his kingdom saying, look at all the nice things I have. It just was the way he was by himself. And then strife and envy, or maybe you might say the attitudes we have in our hearts that produce the behaviors of unrest when we have these misplaced attitudes. So if we're using the things of this world in a godly way, we're not going to be misusing them. They're earthly things. They're not sinful things. But not all pleasures are the pleasures of sin, but they are all potentially distractions. And so we always need discernment. There's not a checklist, but there's a reminder that we need discernment from the Lord to not be abusing or misusing the things that are around us, because we have on the armor of light. This will help us to walk as if we're already in the day and we already have our behaviors and our choices exposed to the God who can see in the light. We're not hiding anything. We're out honestly, and we are able to put on the armor of light, which in verse 14 is linked to putting on the Lord Jesus Christ.